Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 59 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, not only the number one left-handed pitcher for the 2027 class in Massachusetts, but also a guy who I collected baseball cards with 5 years ago. Would you look at that? Luke Ledger in the building. How are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
All good, man. It's crazy, you know, from collecting sports cards to now, you know, I'm doing my podcast thing and my broadcasting, and you're out there balling now a Rutgers commit, man. Let's just start off with the ranking that I led off with. Man, number one lefty in Massachusetts for your class. What went through your mind when you saw that update?
When I saw the update, it was sick. It was unfortunately I've dropped to two now because my good buddy upclass, my good friend
Oh.
Owen Burns, he upclassed. So he's a 28 and now he upclassed to 27, so he's number one now. But when I originally got that ranking, it was after like a big velo jump. I was like 84 in the summer of I topped 84 in the summer of 2024, and then I hit the gym hard in the fall and winter, and then I went to some January tournament, which is like for baseball that's like the quote unquote like dead period because like there's not much recruiting going on and like there aren't that many tournaments. But I went to one just to get some exposure and with a new team, and I ended up getting up to 88. And I pitched not even the velo. I also just pitched well that day. After that, the ranking just I was super happy. I got it sent to me because like to see the ranking you have to like pay an extra. So one of my friends sent it to me, and I was like, wow, this is sick.
That's
And
pretty cool.
I was super excited. And since then, I've just been continuing to work on my craft, and it's been awesome.
Hey, you're still number one from the original class ranking. So that's pretty cool. You can still flex that. Rutgers commit. Took a little bit for you to like decide. You were telling me about a few places you were looking at. What was it about Rutgers that really jumped out to you?
Rutgers was, I think they saw me pitch. I know this now, but I think they saw me pitch in Alabama, which was about a month before they're allowed to offer you. So like August 1st is like when they're going into your junior year is when they're allowed to offer you. I went to a camp that was the camp was actually like usually most camps are like a couple hundred dollars. This camp was like super cheap, so like you knew it was like the kids that they wanted to see. They just had to charge something per like NCAA rules. And so I went to that on July 31st. So that was actually like the day before they were like allowed to offer
Wow.
kids. So I was like, okay, this could be cool. And then I get there and I spiked like my first four fastballs. I was like, all right, you drove 5 hours to get here. You better perform. And then I settled in from there. The coaching staff saw me pitch well, and I think they showed a lot of trust in me. The fact that they were just willing to like offer that early. I noticed that like when you go to places that you're wanted, like the school that I go to now, that was like the only school that reached out to me for high school. I just noticed when you go to places you're wanted, you get the chance to play right away. And if you work hard, it's the sky's the limit. And I'm just very blessed and happy that they trust in me. I just gotta continue working, like I said.
You think Jersey's going to be pretty different than that Boston area?
There are certainly areas of the US that are I think are different. Like the weather's like pretty similar, but I think it will be different. There's more of a New York environment, more Yankee fans, unfortunately. But no, I think it will be different for sure. I went down there for an unofficial visit back like about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was super fun. The environment was sick. So yeah, I think it'll be different. But I think going like down south or going to like California or something like that would like be a more of an environment difference. But I think
Yeah.
overall it will be pretty different.
I think I'm actually going to the football game when we visit Rutgers. I think over Thanksgiving weekend, if I remember properly, I think I'm going to that game with my family. So that's going to be a fun little crossover between my school and your soon to be. I assume your fastball is your favorite pitch. I mean, you don't get that high if you don't love throwing it. You're approaching 90, entering your junior season. Could potentially get it there by then. But how have you
Hopefully.
honed it to such a great speed, like while being so young, only halfway through high school?
One big thing was just consistently getting in the weight room. I think you gain velo obviously as you get older, and then that's like through puberty and stuff like that. But then once that starts to slow down a little bit, you got to really hit the weight room hard. And eating, I mean, that's an underrated aspect of it. Like a lot of people say eating is harder than the actual lifting, which I don't completely disagree with. And then honestly, just another thing is just like throwing a lot. Obviously, you don't want to like throw your arm out and stuff, but I think if you throw and you like stay consistently throwing, like for example, my original when I was in public high school, I threw a lot, and I was like, oh, I weighed like 125 pounds, and so just like throwing and getting your body used to that motion will help you maintain that strength, and it's almost like lifting in a way, but it's just like just getting the motion down. That I think that helps with velo. That's why like you hear a lot of people like Trevor Bauer and like those guys saying like long toss and stuff like that.
So are you a big like mechanic guy, or do you just like let it rip? Like what goes through your head when you're getting ready to throw?
I've become more of a mechanic guy as I've gotten like more pitching coaching. Like I know that there are like some things in my motion that I need to fix and that I didn't realize I needed to fix until like probably about like 6 months ago. But like based on like how I throw in game, like I'm a max effort guy. I unless it's like a 3-1, 3-0, 3-1 count, I'm hucking my fastball as hard as I can. Mechanics are more of a thing that you got to worry about during practice, and that I have to start worrying about more because there are certain things in my motion, like I said, that I have to fix. But in game, you just got to let it rip, and then, I mean, you're not supposed to practice in game. You're supposed to just like trust your skills and go out there and ball out.
One thing I noticed from looking through your athlete Twitter, I'll call it, was that PG Scouting said that you have a quote, unique shape to both your curve and your slider. What do you think it is about like that grip or the way that you throw that made it so fascinating to scouts and then, you know, the Rutgers staff?
The first time Rutgers saw me, my curveball was like super on. When my curveball's on, it's like I think it's my best off-speed pitch. My slider's more reliable for like strikes, in my opinion. But I think with in two strike counts, I like my curveball better. I probably shouldn't be saying this too much because if other teams are listening. But
I
the thing
could.
about me is like the reason why I've had trouble like developing a changeup grip in the past is because I'm like a super supinator, which is like pronation's like that, and then supination's like that.
Ah,
So like
okay.
I developed like a slider pretty that I go to pretty easily. And I didn't really have that much coaching on it. Maybe there's a grip that I should try out, and it's a better spin rate, but I haven't tested that much. But a slider is like my go-to off-speed pitch, and like a changeup, like I've been still trying to work on for a while. So I think the shape comes from the fact that like I'm really good at supinating, but like you'll never hear us talk about like my or not yet at least you'll never hear about like a devastating changeup because like my pronation's like not good right now. But it's time I have time to fix it, and I'm certainly gonna work on it. But I think just like playing catch, like I said, playing catch with those rips and just continuing to get it down, and then just throwing it in game and trusting yourself. That just all helps build up to where you want the pitches to be and how you want them to move, stuff like that.
That's an advanced word. I'll tell you, I've never heard of those words before. And I pitched through high school. So it's like that's a new word to me. Man, and I mean your high school career has gone incredible so far. Looking back to last season, 30.1 with a 0.69 ERA, dude. Are we like serious? What do you think is like the biggest reason that you've been able to maintain that consistency through the season?
I think it's trusting your stuff. I think when you go out there just worried, I mean, you're just gonna tense up, and then that's when I noticed that at the beginning of the summer when I was playing for a new team. Like when I was tensed up, I would miss arm side high and then glove side low, and that's like a common thing for that's like a common struggle for pitchers. But I think going into this year, I was playing with a chip on my shoulder because I still had stuff to prove because I was new to the school, and so I was like, all right, let me just go out here. I mean, I've thrown in practice. The coaches have shown trust in me, stuff like that. So I might as well just go out here and show them my best stuff. And I mean, that's my main goal right there.
How would you say it is competitively in the area of ball which you play, like up in that, you know, New England area? How would you say the competition level is?
I think people recognize that it's getting better. I think you see more kids committing to like Southern schools from around here, but I think that it's obviously not as good as it is in the South when they start in like February and then they have like a bunch of guys committed to like SEC schools, stuff like that. But I think it's getting better, and in the certain league that I play in, it was certainly an upgrade from the public school league I was in, and I think overall it's solid.
Yeah, because baseball has always been a southern game. That's why when, you know, Trout came in from Jersey, it was like, whoa, this is a northern kid, and he's
Yeah.
blowing these southern kids out of the water. It's like that's where you notice it.
Yeah, he got drafted like 25th overall, and I mean, if he was from like Georgia, who knows? He could have been drafted like a lot higher.
Oh,
Randall Cricks would have
absolutely.
been ahead of him. Yeah.
We'll do a little game at the end with some MLB guys. But I just want to
Awesome.
continue on with your season. 43 to 10 strikeout to walk ratio. That's for a sophomore, man. That's some pretty damn good command right there. What like mechanical or mental side of it really helps you stay in the strike zone?
I think just trusting my stuff. You can't like assume that the hitter's gonna get a hit. You gotta like go right after him. That's why like as a hitter, swinging first pitch is honestly like not a, in high school at least, swinging first pitch in my opinion is like good because so many of the pitchers try to get ahead. I mean, as a pitcher, I know I tried who, and it's like if you look at like the 0-1 versus like 1-0 like things even in the MLB, like the difference is huge. So I think just attacking the zone, and then the dad of a friend that I have said like assume the hitter sucks, and then if he gets a hit off, you tip your cap, and then you'll adjust next time. And I think that's a I think that's honestly really good, because just trust yourself. And if he gets a hit, he gets a hit. But then first time around, just you got to establish that you're pounding the zone. And then the pitchers that pound the zone that gave up like a couple hits are always going to do better than the ones that like nibble around and then like will walk a couple guys, stuff like that.
And you didn't just pitch your sophomore year, man. You hit 340 during that sophomore season. How do you like manage the workload in high school between pitching and hitting?
Honestly, I think a big part of it, I think a big part of hitting in high school at least is hitting leading up to the season. I think just get in front of, I mean, my dad's awesome. He throws BP to me a lot, and or he's always open to throw BP. And I think getting in front of the machine is huge, because you can just crank it up as high as you want. I think just the workload in the season, you just gotta, for pitching, you throw like a bullpen probably like once a week during practice, and then you throw in once a week during a game. Actually, for me, it was different, because I played more of a reliever role. But like, you probably throw a bullpen like once every 1 or 2 weeks in practice, and then hitting, you just like join the rest of the guys. So I think our coaches did a really good job last year of like having like the pitchers being able to hit. And then like for me, I also played outfield, so I was like shagging balls, and then I'd go and throw a bullpen. So I think they do a good job of separating like the pitchers would be like, okay, me and like some other kid have to go throw a bullpen. The group has to go on without us, and that worked out well. And then we joined back with the group. So I overall, I think it was really good on the coaching.
I have a question here. This is going to be an interesting one. It's going to be some food for thought. If you were to pitch to yourself, what do you think the result would be, and how many pitches would it take?
If I were to pitch myself, I think I would. I don't think I'd strike myself out. I think I'd give myself like pole side ground out.
Okay. You think you'd foul off a few, or?
Yeah, I think I'd fell off a few. I'd either hit like a hard ground ball or like a rollover. I think I'd get myself out, though. I'm a better pitcher than I am hitter. I think first pitch, I might throw myself a curveball. I feel like I don't know. I'm
You
seeing fastball a lot. Lefty lefty. That'd be tough.
only get one opportunity to face yourself. Why not throw a curveball first pitch?
Yeah, exactly.
If Rutgers ever asked you to, would you consider opening up the hitting thing as well? Or when you get to college, are you focusing entirely on just fastballs down the middle?
I think if you asked me a year ago, I'd probably say like I'd consider it. I probably would still consider it, but like on my unofficial visit, he was like, do you want to hit? And I was like, I'm fine just to stick with the pitchers and like play catch with one of my buddies that I just met. I don't know. I mean, I always consider it, but I'm becoming more and more just focused on pitching. But I there's no way I put the bat down for high school. High school, I gotta keep hitting. It's
There we go.
so fun.
There we go. Is there anyone you model your game after pitching? Like any specific player that you think, wow, I want to be like them?
Probably Shane McClanahan. I know he hasn't pitched in like 2 years, but I feel like our motions aren't like too far off. And I think he I just like the way he pitches. I think the Rays always have good coaching when it comes to pitching. I think McClanahan, I hope he comes back next year. I don't know if he got Tommy John or something, but he was hurt like the whole year. So I hope he comes back, and I hope he's good. I love the way like Chapman and like Hader, like both of them like attack the zone, but like
Absolutely.
I think my motion looks more like McClanahan's.
Fun fact, I actually interviewed Shane McClanahan at spring training last year, and I just
Really?
never posted it because the answer wasn't what I wanted. So I just never posted it. But
Really?
it's in my phone right now. It is in the vault. Jack
Nice.
Dobbins and Shane McClanahan interview. All righty, we're gonna close it out with a little game, all right? We're
All
gonna do a
right.
blind ranking of five modern lefties. All right.
Modern lefties? Okay. All
Modern
right.
lefties. Only one of them is retired, but he retired in 2020. So these are all, relatively recent guys, and I want to see where you go, all right?
Okay.
Leading off with someone that hits home for you, we're starting with Chris Sale.
Wait, is this career?
What do you want to do? Career or prime? It's your call.
I mean, if the active guys you have are veterans, then I want to do career.
They're all vets. All the
Then
active
yeah, let's
guys
do
have pitched
career.
at least 7 years.
Chris Sale. Okay. Dude, he's underrated, because he and Gerrit Cole both were like didn't win the Cy Young for a while, when they probably should have won it in like a past year. And they both won it. Sale. I'm debating between two or three.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go three.
Okay, so safe bet. Just put him right in the middle.
Yeah.
Second, we got Max Fried.
Four.
Four. Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, Snell.
Oh my gosh. I should have put Sale at two. Snell has two Cy Youngs, but like he doesn't pitch besides that. Snell
You
at
got the
two or
one, the
five.
two, and the five.
I gotta put him at two.
You
Two.
gotta put him at two.
Yeah.
All right, this is interesting. You got Clayton Kershaw.
One. Okay. Who did I put at five?
And at five, you got CeCe.
Okay. Honestly, I'd probably put Sale ahead of CC. I should have put Sale at two.
It was interesting because I between Sale and CC, I'm kind of on the fence. I think they're like, pretty comparable in terms of how good I think they are. I think Sale actually might be ahead just
Sale
because
had like a better
Sale was more
prime. CC
dominant.
lasted longer though because he like was so big. I mean, they're like the exact opposite body types.
Yeah, but they both had their, their eras. They both played great ball. But
Yeah.
I had to include him on the list. I'm like, I'm not gonna put in another guy who's currently playing. I'm like, I need CC on this list.
Yeah, new Hall of Fame inductee.
Oh yeah, that's my guy. I actually got to work with his son this summer in Trenton, so that was
Oh,
fun.
really?
You're gonna be
That's
pretty
awesome.
close to Trenton with
Yeah.
Rutgers. Not too far. It's what, half an hour, 45, somewhere like that.
Yeah, probably.
Not too bad. Alrighty, anything you want to say before we shut this down?
No, just thank you for having me. This is super fun. I mean, I really enjoy being here. I think you asked some good questions. That was my first ever like blind ranking that was like live. I felt like I
You're,
was
I
on
think
a
you're
true podcast.
the second person I've ever done it with. I think the other was Dominique Rodgers Cromartie. So
Yeah.
that's a pretty fun duo right there. There we go. All righty, that's gonna do it. Episode number 59 of the Playoff Push Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and have a great rest of your day.